Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening will be taken from the first seven verses of the story that we just read about Jesus' birth found in Luke chapter 2. This past week, as I do every year at this time, I took some time to reflect on that story that we just read about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It really is the greatest of stories because it's all about God's visitation to us, God coming into our world, God becoming human, taking on human flesh, and living here among us. And of course, that's only the beginning of the story because it moves on to his sacrificing of his life and rising from the dead, all to gain salvation for us. It truly is the greatest of stories. As I reflected in preparation for this message, I kind of got stuck at that point where it was talking about the census. I started thinking about the census and exactly what does it mean. And the way that that happened was, of course, through reading the scriptures, but also through cookies and a movie. It was this past Wednesday. We had just finished the Advent services, and I made my way home, and we had agreed as a family that that night we were going to decorate the gingerbread cookies. And so we started getting all the stuff out and putting it there on the dining room table. And as we do a lot of times when we're wrapping or decorating cookies or things like that, we said, well, let's flip on a Christmas movie. And so we did. I settled on the Nativity Story and we put it on. We hadn't watched it yet this year, so we decided to watch it that night. But the reality was that we weren't paying too much attention to the movie as we started watching it because we were sitting there, we were decorating and we were talking and, you know, we really weren't watching the movie. And so it took us, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever it was, to decorate the cookies. And by the time we finished with that and I settled in to really focus on the movie, it was that point in the movie when the Romans were storming into the town of Nazareth on their horses. They threw up a couple of tables and they began to collect the taxes from the people, forcing them to, you know, to get in line and to pay their taxes. And the movie really did a very nice job of illustrating the hardship, the callousness, and even the oppression that there was in the gathering of taxes back in those days. But it wasn't even that scene that really captured me. That set up what was going to come just a couple scenes later, where they started talking about there was going to be a census. And you see, the issue was you only take a census for two reasons. One, to conscript the young men into the military, and the other is to count the people and to raise taxes. And because the Israelites were never conscripted into the military, there was only one reason why they were going to be doing a census, and that was for more taxes. And the previous scenes had showed the difficulty that they had, that some of them couldn't even pay the taxes as they were, never mind if they were going to be raised. And so that scene kind of just reminded me of the difficulty of the oppression that there could be in this process. As I reflected more on those scenes and on the census, I began to realize what a big part this census played in the story of our Lord's birth. But still, there remained the question, why? Why does Luke tell us about that? What's the point that he's trying to make? And how do we make sense of the census? And as I thought about it, I discovered two things. The first is the census helps us to understand how the birth of Jesus is grounded in history. You read the story, and again, it starts out, and there's all kinds of names of people and places that are given. And so some of the people, well, it starts with Caesar Augustus, who issued the decree. Then it talks of the governor of the area, who was Quirinius. And then, of course, Mary and Joseph. From the high and mighty to the meek and lowly. And then there were the names of the towns and the places. Well, by implication, there was Rome. But then there was also Syria that's mentioned. And underneath that, the area of Galilee. And then the town of Nazareth, which is in there. And in addition, then, Bethlehem, which is in Judea. Again, the same thing from the powerful and significant all the way down to the relatively insignificant places. And I understand that there is a difficulty in the dating of this census, exactly when it happened. And there's quite a bit that's written about it. But I think there are several satisfactory answers that at least get us close as to when this census really was. And so it's probably somewhere between 4 and 6 BC. Yes, the people who made our calendars got it wrong in the beginning. Jesus was probably born somewhere in 4 to 6 BC. But what's the point? The point that Luke is making is that this is no myth. We're not talking about Greek or Roman myths or the fanciful stories that sometimes we hear from other cultures. No, Luke wants us to know for sure and certain that these are real people who lived in real places at a particular time. And so what he's doing is he's taking the birth of Jesus and he is grounding it in history, with the point of bringing forth the humanity of Jesus. This is God who becomes human and lives in our world. Now, both Luke and Matthew have Jesus' genealogies as well. And that tells us who his family was. These are the people from whom he came. And you see, the census then is doing the same thing as these genealogies. It's grounding the birth of Jesus in history. And then we get to the most important thing. Why is it important? Why all of this? Are we talking about this? Because it has everything to do with your salvation. Salvation is not just an idea. It's not a concept. It's not a rumination of some people. It's not a myth that's made up. You see, it's reality. It's history. It's that which really happened. Because you are real people living in real places at a particular time, you need to be saved by a real person who lived in a real place at a particular time. Again, ideas and concepts, that doesn't bring us salvation, but it's what God does in history and what he did through this one Jesus Christ that makes all the difference. And that's why Luke talks about the census, so that you can be sure that this is not a fictional story, but this is a real thing that happened, and that your salvation is real. That brings us to the second thing that I came across as I was pondering this passage, and that is about the way that God works in this world. The census shows us something about that. So when you think about a census, what do you think about? Well, generally, you think about governmental power. The census is an expression of the government's will and power. The government wants to know who you are, where you live, so that they can be able to tax you and bring you into service in various different ways. And so their way of enforcing that will often happen through a census. So the census is an expression of a government's power and its will. And so we see in the story that people start getting shuffled around. You have to go to your hometown or the hometown of your family to be registered there. And so the government is forcing people to move. And you see, this is the way that Caesar was thought of. Caesar was thought of as being divine. He was expected to be worshipped. Caesar declared himself to be the savior, and that he was the one to bring peace. You recognize those words? Those are the words that we find in this very same story about the birth of Christ. What God said that his savior was going to do. Well, Caesar had claimed those things for himself. And you see, that's sometimes the way we think about ourselves, right? We like to be in control. We like to think that we are so much in control that we're our own savior. You know, that we can take care of ourselves. We don't really need help. But you see, that's kind of the thought pattern behind this. And so in the story, we see that Mary and Joseph must go to Bethlehem. Never mind that Mary is in her third trimester. Never mind that it's 90 miles that they would have to travel. Never mind that they were going to have to walk. Notice the story doesn't say anything about a donkey. We put the donkey in there because we feel bad for Mary. She couldn't have walked all that way. Well, maybe she did, maybe she didn't. I don't know. But you see, the whole thing just talks about Caesar. And he doesn't think about individuals, right? He just thinks about the administration of his empire and what he has to do. There's no thought about the individual. And so there is this whole thing about oppression that happens when the individual is not thought about. But take another look. Take a closer look at the text. Sure, Caesar is doing his thing, issuing his decree, and people are scattering, the administrators and the soldiers are going out to enforce what he has said. All of that is indeed happening. But ultimately, there's something more that's happening, right? What is Luke telling us? Luke's saying it may look like Caesar is the one who's in control, but it's really God. Why is that? Because a long time ago, through the prophet Micah, God had said that the Christ would be born where? In Bethlehem. That's what God's word said. That was God's plan, that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph, they're living 90 miles north in Nazareth. How are they going to get from there to there? They have absolutely no intention of making that trip. Joseph's not going to let Mary travel that far when she is that pregnant. They're not going to do it. But God gets them there. God uses Caesar in order to get them down to Bethlehem, because they can't argue with Caesar, right? And so God is using the governmental powers, the forces, and the influence of this world in order to accomplish his will. And you see, that's the way it is yet today for us in our lives. As Joseph and Mary could not see or did not see the hand of God at work, you know, they had no idea. They just heard that there was this decree and this is what they had to do. They didn't know that this was at the direction of God. And so they just set out. And you see, Mary and Joseph were living by faith. What they did know was what God had told them, that Mary was pregnant with the Christ, and that it was Mary's job to bear this child, to give birth to this child, and to mother this child. And Joseph knew that he was to treat this child as his own and to care for Mary. And that's what they were doing. And they were just going about doing the best that they could, in the difficult circumstances. And they just were trusting God to enable them to do that which they are called to do. And so they set out for Bethlehem. And so just like Mary and Joseph, you know, we live in this world and we can't always discern or see what God is doing. There's a whole bunch of stuff that we don't know, because it's masked behind governmental powers, other kinds of powers and influences that are going on in this world. We don't even know all the time what God's purpose is and what his will is. But we do know what he has called us to do and to be faithful to him, to live as his children, to do the very best that we can with the tasks that he's given to do. And you see, just like Mary and Joseph, we live by faith. We trust that even though we don't understand everything that's going on and happening, that God is going to be with us, that he's going to lead and he's going to guide, and he's going to bring us to those places that will help to accomplish his will. And you see, that's why the census is. That's why Luke puts the census in there, to help us to understand some of these things, to enable us to live by faith. And we do so because we've seen it happen with others. We've seen it happen with Joseph and Mary and others that are mentioned in the scriptures. And as it happens to them, so it happens to us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.